done. And Father, we talked in Sunday school this morning and looked at your dwelling place with people in the Old Testament, the tabernacle, and the highlights that came out of that, Father, that your love is immeasurable. Your grace is immeasurable. Your holiness is immeasurable. Father, your love for us, I may have said that, but your love for us is immeasurable. And Father, it's just so awesome. It's such a blessing for us to know that you go before us, you go with us. And so when we walk with you, Father, there's no better place that we can be. So Father, thank you for that. And just thank you for our time to praise you this morning. Thank you for the time to dig into your word and be taught from it. And Father, we just pray a blessing upon Pastor Craig's female comes and shares this morning's passage with us. Father, just teach us through your word. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This time, those ages 4 to 8 may be dismissed for junior church. So you came back, huh? After last week, you came back. Turn, if you will, to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. We're going to look at one verse this morning, and that's verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. And as you following along in your Bible, I want you to note that I am actually going to read it to you from a Greek interlinear translation, which means I'm not reading in Greek, but I'm going to be reading in English word for word, order for order, exactly how it's written in the Greek. And the reason I'm doing that is because that's where I got my outline today, is from the word order of the original Greek. So follow along in your copy, or you can look up here, but we've got, this is the interlinear that we've got up here on the screen. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 7, it says, "The husbands likewise, dwelling with them according to knowledge, as we with a weaker vessel, the female, showing them honor, as also being co-heirs of the grace of life, so as not to be hindered in the prayers of you." Father in heaven, we do ask your blessing upon our time this morning as we look into this verse and see at least part of the responsibility that you've given husbands toward their wife. I pray, Lord, as with last week, Father, that we wouldn't look at this as a, that we wouldn't look at this as man's opinion, certainly not my opinion, but just truly what you say about this marriage relationship. So we give our time over to you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So last week we looked at submission, a wife's responsibility. And we talked quite a bit about that. We noted that submission is not a bad word. Jesus himself submitted, okay? But today we come to consideration, a husband's responsibility. Your translation, your Bible may say understanding, okay, or knowledge. But the idea here is we as husbands, we have been commanded really to consider our wives in everything that we do. It is a responsibility that we have. And for those of you who were here last week, perhaps you're already noticing that Peter dedicated 6 verses to the responsibility of a wife and has only 1 verse for husbands. That hardly seems fair. Well, Peter is not listing all of the responsibilities of either wives or husbands. He is focusing on a few, perhaps, that this particular audience needed. And just so that you do know, Scripture elsewhere has substantially more information and instruction written to husbands than it does to wives. But what we find here is critical, I think, for husbands then, and critical for husbands now. Back then, when Peter wrote this, the Roman Empire of Peter's day, wives were often seen as simply a source of lineage, children. That was pretty much their only role in the Roman Empire. I'm talking about wives in the Roman family. Women were seen as property to be used and even discarded if they could not fulfill their role. And while the Jewish family was considerably better than that, Jesus Christ has become the model of this husband and wife relationship, the model of relationships in general even. And it is what we look at here this morning, what we're going to look at this morning, I think is very critical for us to understand and apply in our lives. There is an element in our world, much like there was an element in the Roman Empire of Peter's day, but there is an element in our world, in our country, that has taken the role of men and husbands to a very unhealthy and unbiblical place. And there's two couple ways to look at that. In fact, I'm going to address one later on as we get into this. But I don't know if you know the name Andrew Tate. I don't know if that name means anything to you or not. The truth is, I don't hardly know anything about him other than he has achieved some celebrity status due in part to his views on women. I stumbled across him because Candace Owens actually interviewed him once because he claimed that he used to be a Christian, okay, and now he's converted to Islam because Islam, he says, is stronger and bolder than Christianity, and especially when it comes to their stance on women. He is a vulgar man. A vulgar man. Sadly, he has a huge following. And I'm bringing this up because he has taken, well, what is normal in Christianity as far as husbands and wives and their roles and relationship, and he has brought it to a very unhealthy and very unbiblical place. Again, he's a vulgar man. Sadly, he has a very large following. But here are some things that he has said. He has said, women are like cars. You can get a new one whenever you want, but you always want to keep the old one in good condition in case you need it again. He said, a woman's value is directly proportional to her beauty. He said, women are biologically programmed to seek out the strongest, most dominant males. He said, a woman's loyalty is only as strong as her options. And I imagine that these are similar views to that of the Romans of Peter's day. And not only are these views very unhealthy for a relationship, but they are completely unbiblical. And I hope that they were disturbing for you to hear, because they are completely unchristlike. And we are called, as men, as women, we are called to be Christ-like. As with the responsibility issued to wives in verse 1 of chapter 3, Peter 2 begins verse 7 saying, husbands, likewise. Likewise. Now we sang a lot this morning about, it was very much gospel oriented. It was all about Christ and what He's done for us sacrificially. And that's exactly what we as husbands need to be toward our wives. So He says, husbands, likewise, because of what Christ did for you, you do likewise to your wives. And both of these, with wives and husband, point back to Christ and His submission to the cross for our sins and His consideration, His knowledge, His understanding, His compassion of us as sinful human beings who need to be graciously rescued. So He says, likewise, women, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Likewise, husbands, consider your wife as Christ did for you. But this consideration, it speaks of husbands really understanding their role toward their wife. Here's part of your responsibility to the woman that God has entrusted to you. That's what we're going to look at today. This is what we find here. Verse 7, we find two main responsibilities to understand. And again, this is not exhaustive. These are not the only responsibilities that husbands have. What we looked at last week was not the only responsibilities that wives had. But we're going to focus on two main responsibilities that we as husbands need to understand. And for those of you that are not married yet, okay, this is information you will need someday. Okay, I'm looking for the single men. There's only a few of you here, okay? But anyway, this is information you need. Two main responsibilities to consider, and here is the first. Dwell with her as her champion. Dwell with her. We're talking about husbands dwelling with your wife. Dwell with her as her champion. Now, the word champion does not appear in the passage, but that is exactly what this verse is describing. A champion is defined as one who undertakes in the place of or for the cause of another. They consider others, just like Christ did for us. It speaks of one who is determined and willingly, earnestly, diligently taking the responsibility to fight for another. Really, with the exact same commitment that they might fight for themselves. In fact, in the verse, the word dwell or live is used, and it indicates that this is a continuous daily responsibility of husbands. It's not part-time. It's not sometimes. This is your life, husbands, for hers, just like Christ. Paul in the book of Ephesians puts it this way. In Ephesians 5:25, he says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Now, while translations of the Bible vary the word order of this verse, I wanted to give it to you this morning in the original Greek word order. In fact, here is the word-for-word transliteration of Greek into English, and I'm just going to read the first half of the verse again. It says, the husbands likewise, dwelling with them according to knowledge as with a weaker vessel, the female. And I'm going to stop there for a minute, because within this first responsibility, we actually find two natural inequalities. Two natural inequalities that husbands are to champion for their wives. Just like she is made to be different and has strengths where we are weak, We have strengths where she is weak. Two natural inequalities that you and I as husbands, we need to consider. Here's the first one. Consider that she is weaker. She is weaker. Now, I know that that flies right in the face of popular points of view. But the bottom line is, you find me the strongest woman in the world, and I will find you 100 men who are stronger, and not just by a little bit. You find me the most clever and analytical woman in the entire world, and I will find you 100 men who are more so, and not just by a little bit. And therefore, we have husbands and wives, we have differing roles and responsibilities in the family. And one of the responsibilities of husbands is to dwell with their wives as champions, to be strong where they are weak. Margaret Thatcher was the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom from 1979 until 1990. She was known for her toughness. There are few men that she encountered that could match her wit, her boldness, her strength. And for that reason, she was even given the nickname, do you remember it? The Iron Lady. The Iron Lady. She was tough as nails, seemingly bulletproof, emotionless, even to the degree of being cold sometimes. However, after she served as Prime Minister, I think this was some years later, she was once asked, "So were you the same way at home with your husband?" And she very candidly admitted that when she got home after a rough day, she had him hold her in his arms while she cried. He was her champion. He was her champion. Husbands, consider. Consider that she is weaker. And you are responsible to be strong where she is weak. Here's the second natural inequality. Consider that she is a woman. Right from the Greek, the wife is female. And females are different than males. Now that, too, oddly enough, is a point of controversy. But men and women, they are different. They think differently. They have different bone structures, different bone density, different brain chemistry, different muscle structure, different muscle density, even differing organs. And differences in the way that we reason and respond to situations. It's not that one is better than the other. It's just that we are different. Just like God designed us to be so that we could be what the other isn't. We are what the other isn't by God's design. But as a wife is naturally weaker in certain areas, husbands have been called to lead them, to shepherd them. In fact, later on in this letter, in chapter 5, verse 2, Peter's going to say, "Shepherd the flock of God which is among you. And for you, husband, that is your wife. That is your family." In Ephesians 5:23, it says, "Men are appointed to be the head of the wife, the head of the family, the shepherd of the family, just as Christ is the church." As husbands have been called to be the head of the wife and shepherds of whatever flock God has given you, husbands are to do what shepherds do. For their wives. because she's a woman and you are a man. What do shepherds do? Well, protect her. Protect her. That is the implication actually being made right in verse 7 as a husband of a weaker vessel, the female. And the Bible is abundant really with admonitions to protect the weak. Psalm 82:4 says, deliver the weak and the needy, free them from the hand of the wicked. And right here, husbands are told to live with their wives and do that. Dwell with them doing that. I recently saw a social media post by a feminist in which they mocked men who say they are physically stronger than any woman and that is why they're able to protect them. And the post inquired this. It says, protect them from whom? Implying men are the only real danger out there to women. If there were no men, there wouldn't be a problem. There would be no danger. Well, as husbands, yes, we are to protect our wives from wicked men. But we're also to protect them from deceptive men and deceptive women who think they don't need men. That is whom we are to protect them from. And that is why Ephesians 5 tells husbands to nourish and wash their wives in the truth of God's word so that they won't be deceived as Eve was. And that, by the way, is a place that Adam apparently failed. He failed to protect his wife. So we need to protect her. We need to provide for her. That is what shepherds do. They lead their flock to their needs. Men are called to be industrious for their families, being the provider for their families. Popular feminist phrase that says a woman needs a man like a fish needs a bicycle. Once again, implying we don't need men at all. We don't mean, and in this, you know, there are two sides to this. I opened up this morning talking about men taking things to an extreme, becoming lording over, okay? Peter condemns that later on, this later too. Taking it to a dictatorship stance. And that is wrong, but equally as wrong is to not protect her, to not provide for her. A woman needs a fish like a man needs a bicycle, implying we don't need men. We can provide for ourselves. Well, without men, there would be no bicycles, no cars, no trains, no planes, no farms, no ranches, nor factories, nor houses, nor air conditioning, nor cities, nor stores, nor paper on which to write, a woman needs a man like a fish needs a bicycle. And I want you to understand, I'm not saying that women are incapable. That is absolutely not what I'm saying. They are capable of industry and provision. I am saying that we have what we have today in civilization because God put it in men to provide for their wives. He commanded men to provide for their wives just as he provides for himself, just as God provided for us, even sacrificially, giving up what we want, even what we need for her. That is Christ-like. Ephesians 5:28. You guys doing all right out there? Ephesians 5:28-29. So husbands ought to love their wives. Love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as the Lord does the church. That is what we as husbands need to be for our wives. Civilization is what it is today because of this mandate. Literally, Christianity has revolutionized civilization. Every sphere of it. And it began with Christ and the church. Began right here. As shepherds, husbands must protect, they must provide, and then husbands, prize her. Prize her. Treat her as the jewel that she is. And this actually leads us into the second responsibility we're going to look at this morning, but I would be amiss if I did not point out that this responsibility, these responsibilities that we're looking at this morning, of in particular this one of dwelling with her as her champion, I would be amiss to not point out that that is unconditional. It is unconditional. The word "if" does not appear in our passage. It doesn't say to be considerate of her if she is submissive to you. No, this is unconditional. Husbands are to dwell with their wives as their champions, protecting her, providing for her, prizing her unconditionally, just as Christ did the church. Dwell with her as her champion. And then here's the second responsibility. And quite frankly, it's all one responsibility. And that is why the English changed the word order. This is really all one responsibility. I'm breaking it down into two parts for you here this morning. But dwell with her as a champion. And secondly, dignify her as your co-heir. Dignify her as your co-heir. Here's how the second half of verse 7 reads, word for word from the Greek into the English. It says, showing them honor, as also being co-heirs of the grace of life, so as not to be hindered in the prayers of you. Husbands, your prayers to God can be hindered if you treat your wife in anything but an honoring and prizing way. Men must cherish and treat your wives as precious. Now, part of the reason the English translation alters the word, and I kind of just covered this, because both of these responsibilities that we're looking at here, they are directly connected. Our prayers will be hindered. Our fellowship with God will be hindered if we dishonor our wives by not dwelling with them in consideration. So not only must husbands dwell with their wife as a champion, but husbands must dignify her as a co-heir. Prize her, value her, honor her. In the eyes of Christ, she is your equal, not in role and responsibility, but in value, in importance. She is your equal. She is what you are not. There's a line from an old romance movie. Yeah, chick flick. In which the man says to his love, "You complete me. You complete me." And while it was a bit corny in the movie, it is profound. It is profound because that is exactly what marriage is designed to do. Genesis 2:18 says, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him." Equal in value, equal in importance, each with their own roles and responsibilities that complete one another to make a whole. Husband and wife were designed by God to be a complete unit. Her, emotionally strong, compassionate, nurturing, that is where she's strong. Him, physically and analytically strong, industrious, providing, protecting, prizing. Well, it was upon sin entering the world that men began to dishonor women, to see them as less than what God had made them to be. By the time Peter wrote this letter in the Roman Empire, wives were mere baby-making machines, and virgins were, well, they existed for men's pleasure. We live in a world today where sex has become idolized. Women have become objectified. Women are like cars. You can get a new one whenever you want. You always want to keep the old one in good condition in case you need it again. That is terrible. That is terrible. And that is why Christ and Christ-likeness is needed so desperately then and now. Because with sin is cursed and destroyed, Christ came to correct. And we find in the second half of this verse two supernatural equalities. Two supernatural equalities. Here's the first. Christian husbands and wives are co-recipients of grace. Neither of them, neither husband or wife, deserved anything from God. Deserved not to be saved by God. Neither of them have any merit or any more merit with God than the other. Both come to God as sinners, deserving of hell. But because Christ bore our sins in His own body on that tree, forgiveness, salvation, abundant life is offered. In Galatians 3:27 and 28, it says, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ," this is those of us who have received salvation, "as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." And this is obviously referring to value. Importance, because both Galatians and 1 Peter speak of the differing unequal roles and responsibilities of Jews and Greeks, slave and free, male and female. But in Christ, all are equal in value. All are equal in importance. And that is especially true in the marriage relationship. Because Christian husband and wives are co-recipients of grace, and therefore Christian husbands and wives are co-heirs of life. Because of Jesus, life with God now and in heaven is our inheritance. Both Christian husband and Christian wife. And if Christ saw your wife as that precious, you should too. Unconditionally. Consideration. That consideration is a husband's responsibility. Dignify her. Honor her as your co-heir. Dwell with her as her champion. Ephesians 5:28, so husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. 1 Corinthians 13:4 through 7 says, love suffers long and is kind. It does not envy. It does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. It doesn't behave rudely. It doesn't seek its own. It is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, it believes all things, hopes all things, and it endures all things. Husbands, dwell with your wife as her champion. Dignify her. Dignify her with love, unconditionally. It is a husband's responsibility. Because not doing so will actually hinder your fellowship with God. If you won't consider the needs of your wife, why should God consider yours? Father, we do thank you for this rather hard-hitting passage of Scripture. And because your word is timeless, I am certain that this issue that's being addressed here has been an issue, something that needed to be addressed, something that needed to be corrected since the very time that by inspiration of your spirit you had Peter pen it. But Lord, we live in an age right now where the pendulum is swinging out of control and in really two different directions. The exalting of men to an unbiblical place and even the de-exaltation of men to an unbiblical place. Lord, we want to be in accord with your word. We want to abide with what you say right here. So Lord, guide us in that. I pray, Lord, perhaps you moved some hearts this morning. I know I learned some things as you taught me through this passage, so I thank you for it, and I thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen.